Forsyth Park is a Savannah treasure, and one local group is eager to keep it that way and even enhance the park for the future. Trustees Garden Club is working on a Forsyth Park master plan as a legacy project and a gift to the city of Savannah. Only not all of the community here in Savannah see their initiative in such an altruistic light. In fact, the club has received significant pushback since publishing conceptual plans for the master plan last month. The project's chair, Meb Ryan, is today's guest on the Commute Podcast, presented by National Office System. Welcome to The Commute this Tuesday, May the 4th of 2021. I'm Adam Van Brummer, opinion editor and columnist at the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com. The Trustees Garden Club's Meb Ryan is on the line, and she'll address some misunderstandings about her group's Forsyth Park master plan on today's episode. As we go through the technical motions of connecting with Meb Ryan via Zoom, that's right, there's video of this podcast available at SavannahNow.com/opinion. I'm going to take this opportunity to tell you a little something more about the Commute's presenting sponsor, National Office Systems. Their name says it all. They are the source for office design and outfitting services in Savannah. We at the Savannah Morning News are proud to call ourselves clients, as are hundreds of other businesses in the Savannah area. National Office Systems has been serving this community for more than 30 years and works with the best suppliers in the business, from Savannah's own Dirt Modular Interiors, which manufactures configurable office environments, to office furniture superpower Herman Miller. Learn more by visiting natoffsys.com. That's NATOFFSYS.com. Now, here's the Trustees Garden Club's Meb Ryan. Pleased to be joined on the Commute today by Meb Ryan, who is the chair of the Trustees Garden Club Forsyth Park Project, which over the last couple of weeks has gotten a lot of attention. And it's one of these things that they've been collecting information on ideas for Forsyth Park going all the way back to the fall. But as so often happens, when you actually roll something out in front of people and people see it, all of a sudden it's like, oh, I didn't hear about this. You know, that's just kind of That's the way the world is, but they've been collecting a lot of feedback on some two preliminary concepts that they put out there, and the public comment section for that closed last week, and now they're starting to move forward. But as they go to move forward, I thought it would be a good time, given all of the public discussion, some of it backlash, some of it otherwise, to what their concepts were, it might be a good time to kind of get together with Meb, learn a little bit more about the organization and learn a little bit more about what they're trying to do at Forsyth. So, Meb, first of all, thanks for taking the time to join me. And can you kind of tell us a little bit about what Trustees Garden Club is and what you do?
Sure. And thank you for the opportunity. We appreciate it very much. So Trustees Garden Club is a garden club established in Savannah back in 1926. And part of our mission is civic improvement. Civic beautification and improvement. And that's what sort of the impetus behind our legacy gift of a master plan for Forsyth Park is coming from. We identified Forsyth Park, or the stewardship of Forsyth Park, as a legacy project about 6 years ago now. And we have been working towards that goal ever since. And it is the master plan is one part of that project. And we began that effort probably about a year and a half ago.
So it's one of these things, go big and go home, right? You pick Forsyth Park, which is, first of all, it's a big piece of property. Second of all, there's a tremendous amount of passion around Forsyth in this town. Can you kind of talk a little bit about that process when you were trying to look at different things you wanted to work on? And when Forsyth was chosen, did you get the sense at that point how I'll use the word daunting, but how aspirational that really was?
I think initially, perhaps not, because we, our initial conversations were around, planting beds and, things like that. We've done other, beautification projects, but it became over the years very clear to us that the park, we all know that it's changed over time. There used to be a parking lot in the middle of the park, in front of where the band shell is. There were basketball courts in front of the fragrant garden. So the park responds, it's a living, breathing thing, and it responds to the pressures and the desires of the community. So what we realized after doing much research and sort of soul searching is that a professional master plan, and whether or not that includes any layout changes, which is what the focus is right now with the community, I think, right. A true master plan to protect what we all love about this park and also ensure that it grows in a way that protects those things, and also makes it a welcoming space. It is a welcoming space, obviously, sure. But we want, you know, the people who use the park, and that is a very wide swath of the community, and it's not just the neighborhoods around it, though those are important, key stakeholders in the plan for the park. But it's much, much bigger than simply these design plans that are so hotly debated right now.
Right. So let's I want to go back into the process, but we'll do that later since you broached the issue in terms of misunderstandings. Obviously, we had an op-ed that ran. I think it's because I put stuff up online and in print different days. It's somewhat hard for me to keep track. I believe it was in print today, Tuesday, May the 4th. It was online on Monday. That was from a concerned citizen. It was, I don't want to say that he's against the plan, but he had some concerns with the plan. And obviously there's been a lot of talk amongst those that aren't real enamored with the whole idea. And I think and you stressed this before we hit the record button, that there might be some misunderstandings here. How are people falsely construing or having I don't want to say falsely construing, so I don't think they're doing it on purpose. What are people not understanding about what you put forward?
Well, I think first to the op-ed, I have sat down and had some conversations with the author, and I do wish that he had contacted us prior to admitting that, because we have several updates and we could have probably clarified a few things, but opinions are opinions. So we certainly respect that. But I think part of the miscommunication, perhaps, on our part, and part of the misunderstanding is that these are plans and that these are a one or the other choice and that things are going to happen no matter what the public says with regard to the layout of the park, because none of these things are true. These are concepts or ideas, and based on a response to the initial survey that we conducted this fall, where we had over 2,300 responses from the community about what they love about the park, what they like to see improved. And so this is a response, and it's visual, and it's the start of a conversation. And I think that's also maybe misunderstood, that this is really the beginning process. We have to start somewhere. Are there some dramatic ideas in there? Absolutely. Are we going to see those ideas in the actual draft? Perhaps not, because we're getting a lot of feedback on that, but it's really the beginning, the very beginning of a conversation. Like we don't even use the word draft yet. We're not even in the draft stage, but that I think has been misunderstood. And while we absolutely respect the opinion of the folks who say don't change any design, in the park, my personal concern is that viewpoint gets so much attention that it possibly can foster more misinformation and a misunderstanding that the overall goal is to protect the park and the things that we love. And if the master plan process is thrown off or lobbied against, if you will, then we won't have a plan to protect the trees. We won't have a plan to help large events in the park happen and have those things happen without damaging the turf and the natural environment, because right now there are a lot of pressures on the park, and we want to see the park protected. And we understand there's a visceral reaction to visuals that are put out there. And we just want to assure everyone that we're not in the draft stage yet, and that we are listening to every comment. We have a huge database now that's going to take probably a month and a half to analyze. And also we're in the process of meeting with other key stakeholders, the neighborhood associations around the park. I just had a conversation with the Victorian Neighborhood Association president, and we are all very much aligned in our goals for Forsyth Park. There may be some discussion about different design elements, but those are design elements. It's not really the overall goal. And so we're still in the, you know, in the creative process and in the feedback gathering process. And there'll be more opportunities for that later.
Right. And I think that's something that gets lost on a lot of people. It's something like this. It is a very complex process because you can literally talk it to death. You can gather all of these ideas, but until people can actually see it through a rendering or through a map, a diagram like you guys put together, it's really hard to get a full feel for what's there. So you go ahead and you put that together with the idea that people are going to say, I like that, but let me tweak this or you know, and be constructive in their feedback. Mm-hmm. But the nature of the world, I think, is to, as you said earlier, people think, oh, this is what's going to happen. This is going to city council next week, and they're going to vote on it, and it's going to be done. And that's not the case. It reminds me, digress a little bit, but about 10 or 15 years ago, there was a concept to redo Johnny Mercer Boulevard on Women's Island.
Oh, yeah.
To make it more traffic friendly, to make it more community friendly. And the county had a diagram put together and they rolled it out. And people, the visceral reaction was so vehement to that that the county finally just threw up their hands and said, well, heck with it. Mm-hmm. And I hope that that is not what's going to happen here. Obviously, talking to you, it doesn't sound like that is the case. So I would encourage folks that have a lot of passion about this is to take a deep breath.
Thank you.
and start to work with the process. And I'm sure through, I think it's friendsofforsyth.org, you've done a lot of updates there and mm-hmm. helping walk people through. So if people get nothing else out of this conversation, I hope it's that this is, like you said, these are concepts. We're working toward, you're working toward a draft.
Yes.
But you're not going to work toward a draft in a vacuum. You're going to work toward a draft.
Oh, absolutely not. Right. Absolutely not. You know, the plan ultimately, we have a memorandum of understanding with the city that we're going to, we will, you know, fund the plan itself, not the implementation, you know, and the, and we'll manage it and coordinate it, you know, and we're going to, and we've been drawing on the city staff input, of course, because logical, but you know, this plan will be up. The city council will have to vote on adopting this plan. So if it doesn't reflect the will of the community, it would all be pointless. And so that's why I think we just need to reassure everybody that we are listening, because you know, to ensure that this park is protected in the way the community wants to see it protected, it does need a plan, and the city council will need to approve the plan. So this is why we need to have all these conversations, you know, as passionate as they are.
Right. I'm breaking into this interview to tell you about the Commute Sister podcast, Difference Makers. Twice a month, we feature leaders making a difference in the Savannah community. Our most recent guest is Bishop Stephen Parks, the leader of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Savannah. He opens up about himself, his journey to the priesthood, and about the challenges the church faces in this Difference Makers interview. Find the podcast by searching Savannah Difference Makers on your favorite podcast app. Now, back to Meb Ryan and the future of Forsyth Park.
I think a lot of the other thing I've heard about is why is this necessary? Why do we need to have a park steward? And in the story that we did a couple of weeks ago now, it was mentioned the Piedmont Park Conservancy. Anybody who's spent any time in Atlanta knows that Piedmont Park is just an absolute treasure in Atlanta. And a part of that, or a large part of that, is due to the fact that there is this group, this stewardship group, that really kind of takes accountability and responsibility to make sure the park is protected and to keep the city engaged. Can you kind of talk about that concept and what role Friends of Forsyth would play, not just in helping develop this master plan, but going forward?
Sure. Well, a park conservancy can really be transformational in supporting these really important public spaces. You know, Central Park Conservancy, for example, you know, has you know, completely, I mean, what's happened there has been the hugest success story as far as park stewardship in the country. And even and today, that conservancy not only, you know, supports the park through, you know, its volunteerism and fundraising, but they oversee all the maintenance of the park. It's no longer a burden on the taxpayers of New York City. So while that is one extreme example right. of what a conservancy can do, we're also very excited to have on our planning team the gentleman who was at the head of that effort. So his group, ETM Associates. So we have a lot of experience, you know, on the team with this type of this goal, shall I say. Right. So a conservancy or a friends organization would be able to not only support the park through volunteerism, and that might be, you know, who knows, docents in the park to tell about the history, volunteers to pick up trash, to help planting, to help weeding. Things that are a burden on the taxpayer right now could be taken over by a friends group. The master plan will identify programs and projects, and it will prioritize those and provide cost estimates. And we know that the city doesn't have the budget to maintain Forsyth Park at any level above what it does currently. And we know that that level is somewhat lacking. We've got drainage issues. We've got challenges with the park's maintenance staff. We've got trucks driving all over the routes, all sorts of things that the city has identified as challenges. And a friends group that could raise money can supplement the city budget and fund, you know, projects that might be identified in the final master plan. So, you know, it's our hope that there will be, you know, that a Friends of Forsyth would be established as a formal nonprofit organization, you know, with a board of directors, an advisory board, you know, who knows what structure it could take. There are many different, you know, ways that that could look. But that way, the burden's not on the taxpayer, because we all know that there are more pressing issues in the city of Savannah than Forsyth Park. You know, it's our focus, our primary focus, but the city has got many other things to think about. So we feel like this is a natural evolution of the community's desire to protect this special place.
Yeah, absolutely. So where do we go from here? What's next? And I know you said you're meeting with neighborhood associations. You're going to take a lot of the feedback that you've got and start to kind of massage or remold what you have. How can people kind of keep track and keep on top of things so that when the next one rolls out a couple of months from now, people are like, whoa, you know, again, how do we keep people engaged?
Right. Well, we will be, of course, you know, posting updates on the social media. It's going to be at least, as I mentioned before, 6 weeks before we have any of the data analyzed and I don't want to say tabulated. That seems like such a formal word. When much of what we've gotten has been comments and not necessarily A or B responses or what have you. So it's going to be at least that long, midsummer, before we even get to the point of taking a look back at the ideas and starting and for the team to start maybe working on a draft. So we're going to be, in the meantime, working with, meeting with and working with other, you know, stakeholder groups in the park, the neighborhood associations, of course, Historic Savannah Foundation, youth football coaches that practice in the park, you know, also Bike Walk Savannah. So we're going to be talking to many, many, many different groups and gathering their feedback also to inform the next draft. So it will probably be, it looks now like fall before we will be back in front of the public, but we will be hopefully be have some press coverage prior to that. And I think that now that this is such an important issue for the community and people are paying attention and showing their passion for the park, I think that when that does roll out and people see the, you know, the social media, traditional media coverage, they will be quick to right. be engaged, because I think, we have been, you know, trying to publicize this project, you know, beginning really last fall, but it has only been when there have been visuals that we have seen all of this response. So hopefully people will remain aware and be looking for us to come back with drafts based on everything that we're hearing.
That's right. If people, you want to learn more, friendsatforsyth.org is the website. I know if you go to savannahnow.com, you search Forsyth Park Master Plan, you'll get the story that we wrote a couple of weeks ago. And at the bottom of that story is a 15-minute video, which I'm sure is on friendsatforsyth.org as well, that kind of articulates and walks people through the master plan and gives a little bit grander view of the concepts and what you've worked on at this point. Is there anything, like you mentioned, social media, is there anything else that whether it's virtual meetings or anything else coming down the pipe that people should keep an eye on, or should they just kind of digest this now and wait for 6 weeks or so?
I would say digest now, just, you know, take a breath, everybody. We're taking a breath, everybody. Take a breath. We're listening. I can't say that enough. I feel like, that is the most important, message that we would like to, for everybody to understand, is that we hear your thoughts. We hear your concerns. We hear everything you're saying, everything in the chat and the virtual meetings, every email and every comment that has been submitted is being typed in, being sent to the planning team and included in the data analysis. And we are not going to present, a draft that does not speak to hopefully a broader sense of consensus.
Right.
So I would just say, take a step back, take a breath, enjoy the beginning of the summer, and we will be back probably late summer, early fall, and we will do everything we can to let the community know that's happening. And we hope we'll be able to have some in-person dialogue at that point. And we just really appreciate everybody sharing their opinions, no matter what they are, because that's what this part of the project is all about.
Right. And there's no better place to catch your breath and enjoy the start of the summer than Forsyth Park. But Matt Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time to join us and for putting in the work and the hours that you all are doing in terms of the Forsyth Park Master Plan. And no matter where anybody falls on this, I think that everybody should have a great appreciation for what you're trying to do. So thank you again.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
That's all for this episode of The Commute. One more thank you to our presenting sponsor, National Office Systems. If you enjoyed this episode of The Commute and want to hear more, download archived episodes on your podcast app by searching The Commute with @SavannahOpinion. But then you found this episode, so you already know the way. On behalf of producer Zach Dennis, thank you for listening. The Commute returns on Thursday.